following is a presentation of Genoa. For more information, find us on the web at genoachurch.org.
Raising grounded kids during fragile times. Raising grounded kids during fragile times. And the truth is, these are fragile times, aren't they? As the Bible says, violence abounds. Love seems to have grown cold. Marriage and sexuality has been redefined. And as Pastor Frank preached last week, our faith is being challenged more and more all the time. How do we raise our kids during these crazy times? I submit to you today the way we always have, and that is to build the right foundation. To build the right foundation. The tools for what we need never change because they're based on the Word of God. Guys, the truth of the matter is this. Any structure that's going to last for a long time has to have the right foundation. We used to go down to Florida over the Tampa Bay Causeway or whatever that thing was called. And it was an amazingly huge structure over this great body of water, but it had a strong foundation and we knew that we were safe. And the same is true in our own lives. Jesus shared the story of the wise man and the foolish man. And in that story, it was told that he built his house on a weak foundation. The foolish man did, and when the rains came and the floods and the storms, that house fell flat. But the wise man built his house on the rock of Jesus Christ and his word. And when the storms came, he stood strong. So today we're going to look at what that strong foundation looks like so that we can stand strong and our families can during difficult and even fragile times. Now, I acknowledge today that we do not live in an ideal world. We do not live in a perfect world. If we lived in a perfect world, you would set the taxes and the politicians would pay for them. You would birdie every hole. You could eat chocolate galore without any consequences. In a perfect world, exercise would be pain-free. Computers would never freeze, say hallelujah. Credit cards would pay you interest. And cell phone batteries would last forever. But it's not a perfect world. The Bible says we're in a fallen world, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and we desperately need to build our homes on the rock in order to stand strong during fragile times. And that rock is the Word of God. So this morning, what are those keys? What are those building blocks? Number one on your outline. Let's get started. Number one, pass on your faith. It begins by passing on your faith. Listen, parenting is very much like a relay race. If you want to be successful, you need to pass on the baton of your living, real, vibrant faith and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, as he spoke to his spiritual son, Timothy. He said, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the things you have heard from me say in the presence of many witnesses, and entrust those things." That means make a deposit to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach as well. Timothy, he says, as you've received from me, you need to pass it on. You need to make a deposit into others' lives. Parents, grandparents on the secondary level, that's what we do, isn't it? We entrust. We pass on that faith and God's word to that next generation. But I submit to you today this, you can't pass it on if you don't have it yourself. You've got to have that real and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ to be able to pass it on. Because if we don't, we have faithless parents with faithless children that bring about faithless homes with constant chaos because they are not grounded on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today for a mom, my mom, who had and has a war room in her front parlor beside the red couch where her Bible and her daily bread are seated and her journal. I'm thankful for a dad who has a war room with a Bible in it, in a part of the house. Well, let's just say it's the house with the part of the house that has the best acoustics. I'll just leave it at that. But I'm thankful for those things in my life. And the truth of it is this. We need to get serious about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to kneel down to Him. We need to surrender and raise the white flag. And as the Lord is the King and on the throne of our lives, then we're ready to pass on the baton to the next generation. D.L. Moody said it like this. He said, "Give your life to Christ. He can do with it a whole lot more than you can." So as we surrender to Him, then we're ready. And then we have homes that can stand during the trials and the storms of life, and a faith that's ready to pass on to that next gen. What am I saying this morning? Bottom line, if you walk the walk, Junior and Missy will listen to your talk. I'm not saying they always will buy into it, but you'll get their attention when it's real in your life. That's where we begin today, to pass on our faith. But we go from there. Number two this morning, if you want to write this down, build your home with understanding. Build your home with understanding. And as parents, we need a big old dose of understanding every single day. The Proverbs writer Solomon said it like this: "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established," or it is grounded on a strong foundation. What do we need understanding for? Well, lots of stuff. Parents, we need understanding for our strengths, our weaknesses, our bents, the way that we're wired. And then we need understanding for our kids and their bents and their wiring and their strengths and their weaknesses. And you do that by getting a PhD and studying them. Amen. And then on top of that, we need to understand that the way we were raised influences how we raise our kids. That our parents' fingerprint is all over us in our style of how we do things. My dad loved to take us on vacations growing up, occasionally on a shoestring budget, because that's all we had. But we ended up down in Florida a couple of different times, and we have movies of Dad climbing coconut trees. We have memories of Dad being chased by an alligator. We have pictures of us collecting conch shells in the Ding Darling Bird Sanctuary in Sanibel, Florida, with a sign beside it that said, "Don't touch the conch shells." You get the idea today. It wasn't always pretty, but they were great memories. And similarly, I took my kids on vacation to Myrtle Beach, and we went crabbing with raw chicken back legs, and we ate in the Calabash restaurants, and we headed down to the beach, and that influence I had carried over to my kids and the way I raised them as well. There is no doubt. We need to understand those things. We need a big dose of wisdom every single day as we go to God for the help that we need. Specifically, what do we need? Well, three things, just real quick. It's not on your outline. Number one, we need to know and to do the right thing. We get that from the Word of God. That's the definition of wisdom. Knowing the right thing and then doing it. Knowledge is only half of that. Wisdom is the whole enchilada. All right? And so that's where we begin. But then we need to do it in the right way. That's character. That's doing it in the spirit instead of in the flesh. And I'm so prone to the flesh so many times, I got to die daily and say, "Holy Spirit, you fill me up." And as I react to my kids and I ask for that wisdom, help me to do it in the spirit. That means exhibiting the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, humility, faithfulness, self-control that I so desperately need. And then thirdly, I need to do it at the right time, because I want to do it in my timing, but I got to wait on God's timing for my life and for my kids' life. And I don't want to do that so many times. I want to move ahead, jump ahead, push ahead, but God says, "You wait on my timing." Trusting in God, asking Him for that wisdom and that understanding I desperately need every single day as I build on the right foundation. Number three this morning, I need to prepare for transitions. How do you build the right foundation? Prepare for transitions. The truth is, our lives are in a constant state of change, and every bit of change brings transition into our lives, and we need to be ready. Don't have our heads in the sand. Be ready to go. Look at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3. Now, remember this about Solomon. He wrote the Song of Solomon in his early days. He wrote the Proverbs in the middle of his life. And then he comes to his twilight years and he writes Ecclesiastes and all that he's learned over these years, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he says this. He, God, has made everything beautiful or appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. We have that God-shaped hole inside of us. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We don't see the whole picture. We don't see from beginning to end. But our faith kicks in, our trust kicks in, and we realize that there are going to be changes and transitions of life. Now, what's the context of this passage? The context goes back to the previous verses when Solomon had said, for every season, for every appropriate time, there is a season under heaven. The birds said it like this in the 1960s when they sang, for every season, turn, turn, turn. All right, so that's the context of this passage here, that there is a right time, there's God's time, and it brings transition in our lives. I've experienced that personally. 1983, I got married. I graduated college. We headed down for Florida for 5 years. Then we came back and I taught in London, Ohio for 3 years. In 91, God brought us to Genoa. We were here for 10 years. Then he moved us down to Whitehall for 6 years. In 07, he brought us back to Genoa for these last 9 years. What am I saying in those infamous words of the great theologian Rascal Flatts? God bless the broken road. He moves, he transitions, he changes. We buckle our seatbelts and hang on tight. But he's in control. I can trust him. I can trust his leadership in my life. Bottom line, he sees that big picture, and those transitions happen in our lives in that real and powerful way. You know, guys, one of the things that happens for many of us is seeing our kids move from children to adulthood, and that's a transition, and then having the wisdom to understand how much rope to let out as they get older and as they mature, and that's a scary thing, and sometimes we let it out, and other times we pull it back in, and I'll probably get in trouble for this because I haven't seen my daughter yet, but I assume she's here this morning at this particular service, but I will tell this real quick story. When she turned 16, she came to me and she said, Dad, I've been a good kid. I've done well. I'm obeying you. I love the Lord. I'm on track. From this point on, I want to choose my own movies. Up to that point, we would discuss together if it was a PG-13 movie, and that was kind of our limit, as to whether or not it was appropriate. She said, from now on, I want to choose for myself. I said, honey, you're right. You're a good kid. You've done well. You're walking with the Lord. Here's some rope. You go ahead from now on, as long as it's PG-13, you can pick your own movie. She went right out and picked the scariest movie she'd ever seen and still has nightmares today. But she learned. She grew. I don't think she watches scary movies anymore. Maybe that's another story for her husband. But the truth of the matter is that there are transition. We take those steps. You don't have to fear transition, but it's not always easy. There are tough times. There are difficult times. Maybe you're going through that, even today, discouraging times of transition. But I got good news for you. God's already there. He's already at the other end. He's promised his grace will be sufficient, and he's going to work for good in the midst of even those struggles. But there's also beauty to transition. Because of transition, I have an awesome wife. I have 2 great kids, a great son-in-law, and I have 3 awesome grandchildren. It's all part of the change and transition of life, the good, the bad, the struggles. We got to prepare. Number four this morning, how do I build on a strong foundation? I need to model respect. I need to model respect. And that's really the key to any healthy relationship, isn't it? That ingredient of respect. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 6, verse 4. He said, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord." John MacArthur commented on that verse, and he said this. He said, "In those ancient times, pagan times, in pagan households and in Jewish households, fathers ruled with an iron fist, rigid, domineering authority. The desires of the kids, the desires of the well, of the wife were very seldom considered." But Paul was clear that this was a new day, that this was not the way it was supposed to be anymore. And he said, "Daddies, you quit being unreasonable and giving unreasonable demands and restrictions that drive your kids to anger, despair, and resentment, and you start exhibiting the love and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your household." Now, the truth of the matter is this: we're imperfect. We're imperfect parents. Our parents were imperfect. And yet God, in His grace, continues to work in our families and our relationships in a great way. But when we mess up, when we discourage them, there are things that we do that bring that about. We don't always listen to them. We don't spend the time they need. We don't take time to answer why. We don't always treat them as a person. They know your buttons. I know their buttons, and we're so quick to push them and get them going, aren't we? And lead them to exasperation. Instead, let's do what the Apostle Paul said in the previous chapter, Ephesians 5:21, when he wrote, "Submit therefore to one another out of reverence for Christ." Paul was saying in context that another fruit of Spirit-filled living is a submissive attitude towards one another. That same attitude that was shared by Jesus when the Creator of the universe kneeled down to wash the feet of His disciples. We're called to serve one another. That's true biblical spiritual leadership. And guys, one of the greatest ways that you can be submissive to one another and demonstrate that is through an attitude of forgiveness. When moms and dads admit to their kids that they messed up and ask for forgiveness, that's a powerful example to them. That's a model of respect they want to follow. Say amen. I didn't say it was easy. I'm saying the flesh wants to get the way and say it's my way or the highway, but let the Holy Spirit soften your heart and you show that submissive attitude towards one another, and that's a powerful example, and it's a powerful stone in the foundation of a healthy home. Number five this morning, how do I build that strong foundation? Know your kids' environment. Know your kids' environment. Guys, if you're fishermen or fisher ladies, you know every detail of a fish's environment. You know where they feed, when they feed, water temperature, the best bait to use, all to catch more fish. And if you want to have the best fruit in your home, you need to be aware of and know the influences and the environment of that surrounding your children as well. When Jesus sent His disciples two by two out into the world, the Jewish nation, to share the gospel, He gave them some instruction, and He said this in Matthew 10:16. He said, "As you go out," He said, "listen, guys, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. It's going to be tough out there. It's going to be dangerous out there. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes." Circle that phrase if you would. "And as innocent as doves." In your character, you be innocent. In your mind and in shrewdness and in wisdom, you be as shrewd as snakes. What's He saying? You need to know your kids' environments is the way we apply that today in the culture and the day and the time that we live in. We need to know about the technology, about the media influences that are out there, and of course, the incredible internet influence that dominates today. It's incredible to me that my five-year-old granddaughter FaceTimes me and her Nana. We're sitting there eating breakfast yesterday morning at the house, and we get a FaceTime from Mora. And she goes, "What are you guys doing?" "I see you're still in your jammies." I said, "Thanks a lot, you little stinker." Love her to death. But what are we saying? These kids at younger and younger ages have the ability to connect and to use those kinds of tools of technology, and we have to be so wise in this day and age. Jesus said it like this when he prayed in John 17, 15 in his high priestly prayer. He said, "My Father, it is not that you take them out of the world. Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of here. Beam me aboard, Scotty. But that you," what? "Protect them from the evil one. That they be in the world, but not of the world." We're not suggesting we all move to Holmes County. That's not what we're talking about. Be in the world, but not of it. But we need the wisdom to understand their culture and their environment. And for that, we need understanding and even shrewdness. Is that the truth today? And guys, one of the ways that we do that, one of the ways that we build that protection around our homes is through a family mission statement, that we operate under a mission statement. Listen, all successful organizations do that. Genoa Church has a mission statement. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. I got it. If we stay on track with that, we're okay. I better remember it. Folks, listen, there is a chicken joint out there called Raising Cane's, and they're famous for their chicken fingers, and either you love them or you don't, I think is kind of the case. But you know, they've got, here's a paraphrase of their mission statement. "We do a few things very well." Because they have just a very limited menu. About 4 items on the menu, I think. If you want a milkshake, you got to go across the street. You're not going to get it at Raising Cane's because they only have just a few things, but they do it well. And that model has worked very well for them, hasn't it? When those guys started their restaurant, is my understanding, they were in college. And they wrote a paper about it. And they submitted the paper to their professor. You know what their grade was? An F. He didn't think it would ever work. Well, millions of dollars later, they've done pretty well, haven't they? We need those mission statements. And guess what? Growing up, we had a mission statement. It hangs over the doorpost in our house. It's the Joshua 24:15 passage that says, "Choose this day whom you're going to serve. That is, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That keeps us focused. That keeps us on track. That helps us to remember to be shrewd as snakes and keep in mind the influences on our kids all around us. Know your kids' environment. And finally, number 6 this morning, make church the epicenter of your family. Make church the epicenter of your family. Listen, I'm not talking this morning about legalism, that you have to go to church Sunday school. You know, I'm not saying you should bring your kids up as druggies, that you drug them to church, drug them to Sunday school, drug them to VBS. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. We already said in the first point that the first stone of foundation is your personal, vibrant, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the tools that the Lord wants you to use to help you be successful is your local church. How do I know that? Look what the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 10:24-25 when he said, And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How do we encourage, spur one another on, fan the flame of love and good deeds in our lives, in our kids' lives, in our families? He says it happens in the context of community. As we come together as a local of church, iron sharpens iron, and we encourage one another, and our kids get encouraged in their walk and in their faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that commitment to your local Bible-believing church, guys. And even so, and more so, as the Lord's coming gets closer. Amen? Listen, I'm so glad that when Brittany and Ryan were growing up, that we were connected here at Genoa. And you may think this sounds like them being drugged, but they were in Sunday school. They were in VBS. They were in Awana and in kids' church on a regular basis. Look at this. It is incredible. I'm in the middle of the Yellow Submarine. I'm singing along here with the Beatles today. You've seen me getting eaten by sharks probably about five times this morning. I told Matt Clark, it's okay, you can let it run. I'm in front of it. I can't see a thing. You guys are on that to keep in touch with me. But VBS is coming up this week, an incredible tool of encouragement for parents to help them in passing on that baton of faith to the next generation. But they weren't drugged. They wanted to come. Why? Because we believed in the old adage, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Because it was a place of fun and excitement. And there's been that tradition, and it continues on today as we teach the Word of God. Now listen, this morning, I'm not abdicating or moving away from the responsibility of parents for a second. The Bible says that we're to train our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and we're foremost responsible for that. But the church has an opportunity to come alongside. The church has an opportunity to gird up and help and be that encouragement to parents and to families and to help in that process. We have a philosophy that we use here in our kids' ministries called ORANGE. And ORANGE stands for two things: the red hot love of parents and the white, yellow, bright light of the church, combining together for ORANGE, to come together for the success of kids and for the success of the next generation. Guys, when you send your kids out into the world as soldiers, you want them to have all of the weapons and the tools that they need. And one of those powerful tools is that commitment to the local church. Say amen this morning. And so we need to understand the importance of that in their lives. We need godly parents with a loving church that are helping to come together and to be that epicenter for our kids and for our families. Just a real quick word for a moment this morning on ECAs. Stands for extracurricular activities. They are good things. And they can be good things, encouraging things. Listen, your kids have certain bents. They have certain natural abilities, and you begin to, as you study them, you know, as you apply your PhD and study your kids, you begin to recognize those bents, and you begin to fan that flame, encourage them in that area. I want to tell you right now, I'm going on record with this, that my granddaughter Moore is going to be a track star. You watch her run. She has a natural gait, and she is fast. She's like Speedy Gonzales. Andale, andale, arriba, arriba. Of course, I might be just a little biased. But guys, listen, as you see those things, you encourage them in those areas. But here's what I want to say. You run everything through your family mission statement. And if your mission statement is that, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, then you keep it in check. you keep it in balance and you keep first things, and you keep the Lord number one and keep that balance in your life for the best health and for the best health for your kiddos. Amen? So what do we need to do? Pass on our faith. Build our homes with understanding. Prepare for those changes and transitions of life. Lead with a model of submissiveness and respect. Know your kids' environment and keep church that epicenter of your family. And in so doing, you're in that right place. In closing this morning, are you building the right foundation? Are you building on the sand, or are you building on the rock? The greatest legacy you can pass on to your children is not anything but a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will your kids accept it every time? Of course not. They're made, they're built, they come into this world with that little free will, and they can choose to accept or to reject. But you keep doing your part. You keep loving the Lord. You keep praying for them. You keep letting your light shine, and you keep trusting the Lord and how He's going to move and how He's going to work and how He's going to continue to make that difference in their lives. I have an example of that for you today. You guys know from this past week that recently the great boxer Muhammad Ali passed away. The one who was famous in saying that he was going to fly like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And he had an incredible life, and he was an amazing man in many ways. Did you know that Muhammad Ali grew up in a Christian family? Did you know that he attended King Solomon Missionary Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky? Did you know that he had a daddy that was so concerned about him that there came a time in his adult life where his daddy hooked up a meeting between Muhammad Ali and Billy Graham? And he and Billy Graham met more than one time, actually a number of times over the years, to a point where the very last time that they met together, Muhammad Ali said this about Billy Graham. He said, "If I was a Christian, I'd like to be a Christian like Billy Graham because he leads people to God." That daddy didn't give up. You don't give up. You keep working towards, through the power of God, through your faith in Christ, to pass on that baton. You keep trusting and relying on Him for your next generation. God's on the throne. He's in control. He's got this.